You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Saturday, March 11th. I am your host, Michael Leva, and boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Friday was a crazy day. Probably the craziest day of this offseason so far. As the Dolphins announced they're picking up Tua's fifth-year option, they restructured deals of both Teron Armstead and Tyreek Hill. We also have to talk about the Chubb restructure that took place a few days, on Thursday. We had Salvin Ahmed. There's so much to talk about, and I'm going to break it down for you all in today's show. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout-out to everyone listening at FinHeaven.com. Everyone go to FinHeaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a big shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group, run by the great and very talented Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please join the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. For those of you listening on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, thank you. And if you're not, why not? Everyone go to YouTube, search Dolphins Talk, be sure to subscribe to the channel. Smash that like button on all our videos, and also hit the alert bell as well. So when we do live shows, and we're going to have a few live ones soon coming up in the next few days, with myself and Ian Berger, myself and Tom, Josh and Aaron, you can join us in the chat. We can share your comments on the screen. We can answer your questions in real time. So you will want to be a part of the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Also, one bit of housekeeping real quick. We're going to run another contest slash giveaway. I have a Jalen Waddle bobblehead doll. Once again, very rare. I'll probably have the information up on our website at DolphinsTalk.com either later Saturday or on Sunday. And it's a Jalen Waddle bobblehead doll. So the head doesn't really move. He goes side to side, doesn't... in the Waddle Waddle type celebration, which is just fun to say, Waddle Waddle. So check out DolphinsTalk.com in the next 24 to 48 hours as I get that information up. Now, let's talk about the big story, which is Tua in the fifth-year option. And I know anytime we talk about Tua, the fan base is so divided, and they're at each other's throats on this one topic that I almost have to read a disclaimer before I start talking. So I'm going to read a disclaimer before I start talking. My name is Michael Leva, and the views that I am about to express are not necessarily those of anybody but else but me. But they ought to be, and as a matter of fact, they probably are. So the Dolphins on Friday picked up Tua's fifth-year option. And why this is such big news is most teams, and by most, I mean 99.9% of teams, usually wait to like the week of the draft, the last week of April, or May 1st itself when they had to make this call by to pick it up then. But the Dolphins didn't have that luxury, and they had to do this now because this situation was turning into a media circus and it was getting out of control. So the Dolphins picked it up on March 10th. They didn't wait to April. They didn't wait to late March. They did it on March 10th, and I am very, very happy with that. Now, I don't care if you out there listening are a blind homer when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa and you want to drink his bathwater and you think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I also don't care if you hate Tua, because this decision was needed, and it was needed to be done now. It could not wait. What this organization did on Friday was, yes, it was about Tua and picking up the fifth year option, but it was also about the Miami Dolphins as an organization, and specifically about Stephen Ross and Chris Greer fixing its credibility, because their credibility was shot. Nobody, and I mean nobody, took them at their word, and why should you? Chris Greer's and Stephen Ross's track record of lying and misleading fans in the media was so bad, from tampering with Sean Payton, tampering with Tom Brady twice, Ross getting suspended for a half of the year, losing a first-round pick. Those two had zero credibility. So they could have said 1,000 times, two was our quarterback in 2023. Nobody with an IQ over 2 was going to believe them, because nobody was going to take them at their word for anything, but especially when it comes to the quarterback position, because these two had a bad reputation that they had earned. But the past 2 weeks in particular, the rumor mill was really getting out of control. It was starting to become a distraction, starting to the early stages of a media circus before free agency even started. This was becoming a media circus because of the previous actions by this organizations and the people in power of trying to replace Tua Tagovailoa with Watson, trying to replace them with Brady. That's the root cause of all of this. People can say, well, Chris Greer said it. Well, Jeff Darlington said it. Well, so nobody believed them. Nobody believed them because of their previous actions. Why would you believe them? Their actions for the past 36 months was the issue. They tried to replace this kid a quarterback numerous times, and then they would stand up and be like, well, I don't, you know, tampering. We didn't tamper. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, we look back now on March 11th after they picked up the fifth year option and say, well, clearly they weren't lying now. Yeah, but, you know, March 10th, up until they picked this up, only a fool would have believed them. A fool, because they couldn't be trusted. These two were George Santos before George Santos. But finally, the Miami Dolphins did the right thing. They took control of the narrative around their quarterback. They didn't wait to May 1st. They didn't let this drag out, leaving this sort of situation be in limbo, where you got the talking heads on TV, you got your radio hosts, your newspaper writers say, well, maybe that, you know, maybe they're talking to other quarterbacks we don't know. Maybe this. You know, Rodgers hasn't said nothing yet with the Jets like Linda Cohn said on Friday. Maybe you got the Dolphins clearing out this money. Maybe, you know, just throwing out bullshit rumors. But because nobody believed the Dolphins as an organization, nobody believed Chris Greer, nobody believed Stephen Ross because of their previous actions. Well, what the Dolphins did by picking up this fifth-year option now in early March before free agency is they took control, and I am very happy they did so. I am very pleased because, yes, actions speak louder than words. Their actions previously told the story. Their actions on Friday tells the next chapter of the story, okay? They didn't drag this out. This does shut down the rumors. So kudos to the Dolphins for taking control of this. Whether you like Tua and you want him here or you were hoping they did not pick him up, that's almost secondary to the bigger story of the Dolphins taking the first step in getting the credibility back as an organization. They backed up their words with immediate action, not letting the media linger on this story and not dragging their feet all the way out to May 1st. And putting out the perception that we want this kid and there is no plan B, so we're doing this now. Boom, shut up about it. That's essentially what they did. And I give them all the credit in the world. It was needed as an organization because, folks, you know, we do these podcasts all the time. I have a little, how do I even word this? You know, I talk to people around the league, and I don't mean like, I talk to media figures around the league, let's just say that, of other teams, guys who cover other teams, people who follow other teams very closely in the press box or at the press conferences and stuff like that, like higher level people that you would respect. And that, you know, outside of the little Miami Dolphins bubble of fans, when you go outside that bubble, the Dolphins are looked at like a joke. Why? Because the whole, you know, tampering with Tom Brady twice, the Watson saga, how they just, you know, put Tua for a year, hung him out to dry, the whole situation with being sued by a coach and Brian Flores, which is not normal. You know, Dolphins fans just say, oh, he's a jerk, Flores, and just sort of brush by it. How many teams get sued by a head coach? It's not normal. The Dolphins aren't looked upon in a great light outside of the Miami Dolphins bubble that most fans live in, who just want to put their hands in their ears and go, la, 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 I don't care. Well, you can do that, but I'm telling you what the perception is nationwide. And this, what they did on Friday, goes a long way in changing that perception. And it's also going to go a long way in that locker room to show those players, when we say we back you as a player, we back you as a player, because they stood up for Tua here and they picked up the fifth-year option. Again, I don't know if this is going to work out or not, and we're about to talk about that now. I don't know. I have no earthly idea. But at least they didn't let this linger and leave the kid hanging out to dry for another 8 weeks till May 1st. Because that would have been, you know, we've seen it all the past 14 days. The media stories, everyone saying everything from Stephen A. Smith, Colin, you know the names, Mike Florio. You know, everyone's saying, well, maybe they're going to go for Lamar Jackson after the draft. Maybe they'll do this. Maybe like, no, you can put it all to bed. Put it all to bed. So kudos to them. Now, whether if this was the right call or not to pick up this option, that is to be determined. I don't know, and you don't know either. Nobody does. And I know there's a vocal minority out there who thinks this decision was a slam dunk and an easy call. It's only $23 million in 2024 on the cap. Who cares? Yeah, who cares? But if this kid gets two or three more concussions next year and is forced to retire or is never cleared to play in the NFL again by the NFL doctors, that money's on the salary cap in 2024, come hell or high water. And Miami can't get that off the cap in that type of situation. Everyone, we're all hoping for the best. Of course we are. We're fans of this team. We want them to win a Super Bowl. We are hoping for the best. But we also know the worst is possible. And with his concussion and his concussion history, the worst, let's just say, is more likely than a worst case scenario for another team and another quarterback. We know what we're dealing with here. Now, as we break down how this might play out, I am not here today for a Tua debate. If you want to hear that Tua Tagovailoa is great, walks on water, never does anything wrong, I ain't here for you. If you want to hear that Tua sucks and he can't do anything right, we ain't the podcast for you. This ain't a Homer podcast, and that tired old debate, I am so sick of it, it's not even funny. There are shitty Miami Dolphins podcasts out there who will play into that narrative and have that debate every day of the week. Go listen to them. I ain't got time for it. What we do here at this website and what I'm about to do is live in reality and talk about what's actually happening in real time. It's not about what I want or what I was hoping for. It's not about what you as a listener wants and is rooting for. It's what really is happening. We live on planet Earth. We deal with reality. Yes, we have our opinions, no doubt, but we talk about the reality of the situation from all sides, whether that's a positive side and a negative side, to break things down, to let you know this is going to go either this way or that way. It might be great, it might be awful. So that's what I'm going to do right here. So Tua was always going to be the Miami Dolphins quarterback in 2023, no matter what the Talking Heads on TV said. 2023 was never up for debate. They were going to ride with this kid in 2023. The only decision was about the fifth-year option in 2024. So this is going to play out one of two ways over the next season. And there is only one of two ways this plays out. Option one is that Tua this year is great, stays healthy. You know, maybe he doesn't play 17 games, but he gives you at least 16 games in a regular season. He leads them into the playoffs, maybe even wins a playoff game. And if that's the case, then that's what you call your happy path. And if that's the case, then he's probably going to get a long-term deal this time next year. You know, everyone can do their little happy dance in their underpants in their living room, pump out their chest, say the Dolphins are back, we got our quarterback. And, you know, some of you guys will be so excited and happy if this happens, you'll actually want to do the wild monkey dance with your wife and not your mistress. That's like, that's nirvana. That Tua stays healthy, they win games, win playoff games, and shows the world, I'm past the concussions, I'm past this, I'm past that, I'm the guy. That's option one. That's what we all want. There is option two, though, where this does blow up in their face. And that's Tua gets more concussions this upcoming season, or he just misses some more games with non-concussion injuries. He only gives you 12 starts or 13 starts like he has the past couple seasons, which isn't enough. They are fighting for the 6th or 7th wild card spot come week 17 and 18. Maybe they get in, maybe they don't. But even if they get in, they play one game, lose in round one, go home. That's where Miami's screwed. And yes, that's where they're screwed. Because then Miami's stuck with this roughly $23 million of guaranteed salary on their cap in 2024. And, you know, if it's up to the concussion thing, and if it's up to, and if it's injuries that sort of take the season, you know, off the tracks, there is not a team out there that is going to help them out and trade for this guy. I know some people think, oh, it's not that much money. Some team will trade for him. They'll take a chance. If it's due to concussions, no team's going to do it. If it's, you know, he has more like, you know, like an ankle injury or like a or rib injuries and he has to miss a month or so or 5 weeks, 6 weeks. You know, nobody's going to trade for damaged goods. Not at that cost. And that's where this scenario blows up in the Miami Dolphins' face. Is it's not only if he doesn't play a lot of games or if he has more concussions or some injuries, if they don't win. You know, this, as you always say, this team is built to win now. They have to win now. Because then you can't say, well, we'll keep him for 2024 and find out. Because that's when the window pretty much, I mean, you cannot, at some point, you got to move on from this kid. So if 2023 doesn't go the happy path I was talking about, that nirvana we're hoping for, and he's always injured, misses, you know, 5, 6, 7 games, has more concussions and just, you know, can't play, isn't clear to play. That's where this goes bad. And what happens then is this. After this year, I hate to say it, short of the Dolphins making like a long playoff run with a backup quarterback, which is totally unrealistic, Greer and McDaniel are both going to be kicked to the curb. Because what they did with this fifth-year option, as much as I like it from an organizational standpoint of fixing their credibility, you know, to say they're all in is an understatement. They're all in. And if this blows up on their face, they're fired. Okay, at some point you got to move on and say, let's give someone else a chance. Because what they did, you know, it is going to hurt your cap in 2024 and it just didn't work out. So it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to go one of two ways. Let's all hope for option one. Let's pray for option one. If you don't believe in God, start. Light some candles, say some rosaries. You go to church every Sunday, whatever church you go to, I don't care. Go to church every Sunday and pray. This kid can stay healthy and he's going to lead us to the promised land because I do not want to live through option two. But we would be naive to think option two isn't a reality given this kid's track record, given this kid's injury history, given this kid's concussion history. Option two could happen, but let's hope not, and let's hope the judo, jiu-jitsu, whatever the hell he's doing, helps him, and let's hope 2023 goes better than 2022. But Tua is here in 2023, and they picked up the fifth-year option, and it shuts down all. Now, look, there is still one dope, that dope Rich Eisen. I mean, you talk about stupid. I mean, good Lord, if stupid would water, he'd be Niagara Falls. After the Dolphins announced are picking up the fifth, after they announced they're picking up this kid's fifth year option, after he's on his radio show saying, with him and his one of the guys on his crew, I don't know who the hell he is going, you know, maybe they did this so they can package Tua with 2 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson. Give it up. It's over. It's over, Johnny. It's over. They're still talking about trading for Lamar. I mean, that's Rich Eisen. That's one guy. But this should put all that to rest for the rest of this offseason. We'll see what the Dolphins do at the backup quarterback position. I have gone on the record saying I would not spend a ton of money. Look, in this brutal AFC, which is only going to get more brutal soon because you're going to have most likely Rodgers with the Jets. You're going to have Houston and the Colts picking in the top, you know, four of the draft, each getting young quarterbacks. Maybe they're good, maybe not. The AFC is so loaded with young quarterbacks, stud quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks. If Tua goes down, you know, Andy Dalton ain't gonna go through that gauntlet and lead you anywhere. You know, those types of guys, you know, Jacoby Brissett, if you want to, he ain't gonna lead you nowhere. Whoever you sign, Minshew, he ain't gonna lead you nowhere. So just go with Skylar Thompson as your backup, because if he goes down to a, your season's over. If he misses a month, your season's over. Or go somewhere cheap. You know, spend $5 million or less. And by cheap, I mean $5 million or less on a backup quarterback. Do not tie up, you know, $8, $9, $10 million of this cap on a guy. A, you hope never plays. And B, even if he plays, it ain't going to matter. So that's where I stand. And we'll see what they do at number two quarterback. I don't know if they're going to make that move early in free agency. I think that might drag out to like late March, early April. Just sort of see who hasn't signed. Who can we get relatively cheap and just sort of pencil him in at number two? Because the Dolphins, again, have shown they are 100% lock, stock, and barrel all in on Tua. And if this blows up, everyone gets fired. If it works, they're going to come off as geniuses. There's no middle ground, so don't go nuts on a number two quarterback. Now in other news, the Dolphins restructured 3 big contracts this week, 2 of them on Friday. They restructured Teron Armstead. They restructured Tyreek Hill. And they restructured Bradley Chubb. Now, before we talk about each one of those situations, because 2 of them I love, 1 of them I hate. let me just say this. You know, social media really is the devil. And it really will drive you nuts if you read it long enough. I'm on social media. The Dolphins are restructuring these deals. There's some in the fan base who are throwing rose petals at Chris Greer and Brandon Choi. Oh, my God. These guys are so smart. Oh, my God. These guys are so fantastic. It's like the Dolphins have a magic formula that no other team has. Folks, you know, get your head out of your ass. 31 other NFL teams are doing the same thing the Dolphins are doing. Okay? The Miami Dolphins, you know, front office is no smarter than every other team. They don't have a magic formula. Every one of these teams is doing this stuff because that's how NFL contracts in this day and age are structured. This isn't brain surgery. Literally every team does this. So some fans go, oh, Chris Greer, he's going to be cooking. Brandon Shore, oh, he's the big. We can never lose him. Yeah, because the next guy we bring in ain't going to do the same thing that he's doing now. You know, it's just they're gushing over every restructure like it's an act. Like it's an act of a miracle that people are trying to get on their way to sainthood. Oh my God. It's like the old Chris Rock, not the new Chris Rock routine. The one from back in the day, he goes, you don't get credit for taking care of your kids. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't get credit for managing the salary cap. That's what, A, every team does. It's literally in your job description to do. So, everyone, stop throwing rose petals at Greer and Shore. The restructure, every team's doing it. They're all doing it. Some teams do it more than others, like the Saints and Miami. But literally every team is doing this in some capacity to opening up salary cap space. So let's pump the brakes on like heaping infinite amount of praise. Oh my God, they restructured. Oh my God, they restructured that. Yeah, and so are the Eagles, and so are the Saints, and so are the Bills, and so are the Browns, and so are the Seahawks. They're all doing it. It's nothing different. Okay. Tyreek Hill move on that restructure. Let's start there. Tyreek Hill, they moved $10 million of a roster bonus, $15 million of his base salary into a $24.835 million bonus, and his 2023 salary is now only $1.165 million. This created $18 million of cap space. This was probably the biggie out of all of them, created the most salary cap space. I have no problem with this move. Here's something else, too, fans have to understand. With these restructures, players aren't taking pay cuts, okay? They're just sliding the money around. So, essentially, what they did is they converted the base salary and some of this other stuff into a signing bonus so they get paid now, and the salary cap space opens, but the salary cap number for the bonus is now on the cap for many, 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 many more years. But with Hill, I have no problem with it. A, he's a stud. He's elite. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a cornerstone player. They gave up a ton of picks to get him. He put up a ton of production on the field. Why wouldn't you want him here for years to come? I think he caught for 7 touchdowns. He had the one rushing touchdown versus the Chargers where he sort of picked up the fumble. 8 touchdowns, caught like 119 passes, I think. He's a stud. Open up all the salary cap space. I want him here forever. So I have no problem with that restructure. It makes sense. And they gave him $18 million worth of salary cap space. Home run. Fully support that move. Chubb, that restructure opened up $14.656 million of salary cap space. I have no problem with that. Christ, they just gave up a first-round pick for him. They better view him as a cornerstone player who's going to be here for years to come. Okay, I have no problem with that. He was only here for half a year. I think he had 2.5 sacks in like 8 games off the top of my head. I'm sure that might be off, but somewhere around there. But they gave up a first-round pick. You gave up a first-round pick for a guy you hope is here the next 5-6 years or more. I have no problem with that Chubb restructure, and that also opened up $14.65 million worth of salary cap. So good move on the one with Hill. Good move on the one with Chubb. Fully endorse those. Well, let's talk about Teron Armstead. This is the one to me that I just am scratching my head. They reworked his deal to create $11.876 million worth of salary cap space. And yes, when he plays, he's great. The problem is he is constantly injured. Constantly. This guy, you know, he misses a lot of games. He missed a lot of games with the Saints. He missed a lot of games. He didn't miss a lot of games last year, but he missed some key games last year with the Dolphins. He's never played a full NFL season in his life. Never played a full NFL season in his life. He is going to be 32 next year. This guy has more red flags than the Chinese Communist rally. I would not have done this. Now, just as proof, 2013, 6 games. 2014, 14 games. 2015, 13 games. 2016, 7 games. 2017, 10 games. 2018, 10 games. 2019 15, 2020 14, 2021 8, and last year in Miami 13. That ain't going to get better with age. This ain't fine wine. If you ain't healthy when you're young and in your prime, you ain't going to get healthier in the NFL with an extra game added on the schedule as you enter your mid-30s. To me, this was a deal. And now, the way his contract was set up is you would have had Armstead for 2023 and you would have had Armstead for 2024. But how it was structured was after 2024, it was an easy out. So you're tied to him for two more years, which is probably all you kind of want to be tied to him for. You're tied to him for two more years, and then you can cut him, and you cannot, and you'd have very little dead money on the cap. That's what I would have done. With some guys, you can't restructure everybody, because some of these guys, you want it out, because you know there's red flags. Like I said, with him, his body is failing him now, and now they're probably going to be tied to him. I don't know all the terms of the new deal, but most likely into 2025, and who knows if it's going to be 2026. And to me, that kind of scares me because, yes, everyone thinks the salary cap's not real and everything. Okay, but at some point, you're going to have dead money for a guy who either can only give you a handful of games or might not be able to play, or if these injuries and all these missed and all this missed time starts to add up over time, he might not be the same player he once was, but you're paying him like an elite guy because of how they do these restructures. Again, I haven't seen the full restructure, so I will withhold judgment on that. And maybe it's not as bad as I am hoping, or not as bad as I think, but I wouldn't have touched this guy's deal. Have him for 2023, have him for 2024. You would have signed him for three solid years, gotten three solid years, of, even if he's playing 13 games or 12 or 14, whatever, of top-end left tackle play, and then move on from him. Again, this is not about him as a person. He's a team captain, great guy. Not about him as a player. When he plays, he is one of the best in the league. Problem is, I don't want to be tied to a guy who's always hurt and doesn't play a full season. It's all about risk versus reward, and having an out clause after the 2024 season would have been nice with him, but they don't. So, okay, after those three moves, the Miami Dolphins have $28 million in salary cap space heading into next week when free agency starts. They still can add more, folks. I know if they restructure Christian Wilkins and they give him a long-term deal, which everyone hopes they do, that will lower his salary cap number in 2023. I think they will. I wouldn't be shocked if that announcement comes before Wednesday the 15th. I think that announcement is going to come either this weekend or early next week because, once again, you want Wilkins here long-term. Why have a high salary cap number for him in 2023? Restructure him, give him the money now, and lower his cap number now. Also, with the release of Jones, with the release of Byron Jones post June 1st, after June 1st, they're going to get $13 million more of salary cap space, but that can't be used after June 1st. So we'll see. Now, next week, for those of you who don't know, on Wednesday is the start of the new league year. The Miami Dolphins are now in compliance and under the salary cap. Awesome. They needed to be. They're $16 million over after Friday. They're way, way under. We'll see how much they have to spend. There's other moves they can make, okay? But like I said, if they redo the deal with Wilkins, lower his cap number, there are some other players they could restructure. Some people say Xavien Howard. Here's what I'd say. Howard, to me, is much like Armstead. I'd be very careful. You know, yes, great player, but you want to have an out with some of these guys. You know, Hill never misses games. Big-time player, future Hall of Famer, you're fine. Chubb, you gave up a first-round pick. You can't give up a first-round pick for a rental. Chubb, whether he's bad or good, needed to be here for a few years, so I have no problem with that. When it comes to Armstead and possibly Howard, I'd be very careful. These are guys who I just be very careful. That's all I'm going to say. But we'll see. So they're going to have at least $28 million to spend. And what Miami does in free agency, there's a lot of speculation on. Armando Salguero, he thinks they're going to be real aggressive because they don't have a lot of draft picks, which they don't. They have a pick in round two, a couple picks in round three. Then I don't think they have anything to like round six or something or five. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then they have one in round seven. So he thinks they're going to be really aggressive. Ian Rappaport was on the Pat McAfee show. He thinks Miami's going to make one big splash, you know, sign a big name safety, a big name corner, a big name right tackle. And then after that, just do a bunch of cheap, small moves. So I don't know. We'll see what they do. I tend to agree with Armando on this because A, it's a win now team. B, they have so many holes. They have a huge hole to fill it at cornerback. They have a huge hole to fill at safety. Linebackers, they need more than one. And on offense, they need a right tackle in the worst way. And also, you have no tight ends on your roster and no running backs. I think they're going to be active, really active. Now, when it comes to quote-unquote big splash moves, I'm thinking two. I'm thinking one on offense, one on defense. I'm thinking they're going to sign like a right tackle to some big money, and they'll sign either a corner, safety, or linebacker to big money. And after that, they'll just get like reasonable deals, and they'll play the second wave of free agency and the third wave and do that stuff. But I think they're going to get two what you would call splash moves in some way. But yeah, that's probably what they're headed, because after next Wednesday starts the legal tampering period, and then that's for a couple days, then, which is, look, the legal tampering period really is the start of free agency, because even though the league's going to send out a memo saying teams and agents and players don't announce anything, teams stuff always gets leaked, and once the legal tampering period starts, you're going to see a flurry of reports saying so-and-so has agreed to terms with the Cincinnati Bengals. So-and-so has agreed to terms with the Cowboys. So-and-so has agreed to terms with the 49ers. And then once the first day of free agency start, you'll get the numbers on the deal. So that's what's going to happen. So I would expect Miami, if I had to predict, two splash moves, and then they'll do a bunch of second and third wave stuff. And we'll see. We will see. Because I think they're going to wait on like running backs and tight ends to like late March, early April. They'll do like, they don't need a big name tight end. They don't need a big name running back. I would do the running back one, as I've said, but what I want is, who cares? I don't think they're going to do it. And I think those are two things with their picks in rounds 2 and 3 of the draft. They can maybe even look to add those there. I think they're going to go, if they go splash, it's going to go linebacker, right tackle, corner safety, stuff like that. And they also re-signed Salvon Ahmed on Friday. Again, Salvon Ahmed is nothing more than a number 3 running back. I'm sure it was cheap. Fine. No big deal. I'm sure it was for very little money. I didn't get the terms of the money if it was even released. So I'm fine with that as a number 3 running back, I guess. But he's the only running back they have on the roster now. So we'll see what they do there. But overall, it was a busy day on Friday with the news about Tua. Again, whether I wanted it is irregardless. Whether you wanted it, it's irregardless. The Dolphins needed to make this announcement in March for their own credibility. Shut down the distractions. Shut down the media circus. Do it. And just show full support to the quarterback that they've never showed support to. Never. And, you know, I can't get on people in the media. I can't get on fans who didn't believe a word they said, because why would you believe a word they said? They've lied for years. And hopefully now this will get them on a path to starting to build back their reputation as an organization, as a front office, and build back their reputation overall. And that's why I support this move, because it needed to be done. So you're not the butt of the joke in the NFL world, which they have been. One topic I want to talk about real quick here in closing, because it's going to affect the Dolphins in a roundabout way. Not directly. And that's Aaron Rodgers. And before I start, I have no fear of Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. So don't take this, oh my God, you're panicking, Aaron Rodgers. I'm not panicking. It does affect the landscape of the AFC East, though. It does affect the landscape of the AFC overall. And it's worth talking about. So Aaron Rodgers, now look, it's Saturday morning. I don't know when this is going to be announced. I'm thinking it's going to be announced either this weekend or Monday. They technically have till Wednesday to do it. If this isn't done by Wednesday, this ain't happening. But all signs are pointing to. You had the Packers pretty much, they spoke to the media and talked like, we moved on from Rodgers, so he might want to play. It ain't going to be for us. And if you're Rodgers, he ain't going to want to retire, because he ain't going to want to go in the same Hall of Fame class as Tom Brady and be overshadowed. This guy's got a crazy ego on him. So, and plus there's $60 million on the table. He going somewhere to play. And from all the reports, the only team calling and the only team that has any interest is the Jets. So I think it's safe to say Rodgers is going to the Jets. Now, here's the deal. I know fans of the Dolphins want to, you know, troll the Jets fans, dunk on the Jets fans. Here's the deal. Stop bringing up Favre, because this has nothing to do with Favre. Was 2008. That's so long ago. That's a whole different world, a whole different NFL landscape. This has nothing to do with Favre. What Aaron Rodgers is not looking at when Favre went to the Jets. Now I'm doing the Jets. He's looking at Peyton Manning went from the Colts to the Broncos, won a ring. Tom Brady went from the Patriots to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won a ring. Now, I'm going to go from the Packers to the Jets, and I'm going to win a ring. Aaron Rodgers is looking at the guys more in his era, the Bradys and Peyton Mannings, and not so much the Favres. I know the eras kind of overlap a little, but Rodgers is more in with Peyton and Tom Brady than he is with Favre. And he's looking at what those guys did, switching teams and winning a ring. So that's why when people say, why does Rodgers want to leave? Why does he want to go to the Jets? Because he doesn't. Look, these guys have an ego on them. You have no idea. And for those of you out there saying Rodgers is 39 years old and washed, folks, last October, he pretty much broke his thumb, played through it. You know, was it his best year ever? No. 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 91.1 quarterback rating. Okay. But when healthy, recently, 2021, with no broken thumb, 37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. 2020, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. You know, that thumb last year really did hurt their play. Also, it was the first year with no Adams and some other pieces around him. So, yeah, last year wasn't his best year for a variety of reasons. But when this guy's healthy, 37-4, 48-5, 2020, 2021. And the Jets, you know, are they the best offense in the league? No. But they got the young wide receiver and Garrett there. They got a couple young running backs who are pretty good. One's coming back from a knee injury, I know. And here's the thing. Just like when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, he brought a bunch of few ex-Indianapolis Colts with him. Just like Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay, he brought a few ex-Patriots with him. Rodgers ain't going to the Jets alone. He's going to recruit one or two wide receivers, either guys he's played with before or guys he's really, really close to around the league to come with him. He's going to recruit an offensive lineman. He ain't coming alone. Rodgers going to, you know, just like those other two guys, he's putting the band together. And he's bringing his guys to surround himself with in New York. And I'm not saying the Jets are going to be this, like, juggernaut. And I'm not saying fans of Dolphins should be afraid of the Jets. This isn't about fear. Once again, reality. This is the world we're living in. Let's talk reality. When Rodgers was healthy recently, 2020, 2021, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. The thumb injury last year kind of derailed things. If he's healthy with the Jets, they add a few more pieces to what they already got. I think, inside the entire AFC, they're a top 4 team. You obviously have the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Bengals. I think the Jets are the next team. I think they're ahead of the Ravens. I think they're ahead of Miami. I think they're ahead of the Chargers. I just think they're ahead of those teams with a healthy Rodgers. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see. It's going to make the AFC East more fun because now you got the Bills who are really, really good. You're going to have the Jets be really, really good. And you got the Dolphins who, you know, for 2 months last year were the best team in the league. And then the wheels came off. So the AFC East is going to be a lot of fun if Aaron Rodgers is in it. But let's not live in a bubble, not live in reality, or let's not make up a false reality. Rodgers, when healthy, even at this age, is really good, and it's going to help the Jets immensely. I don't think the Jets are going to win a Super Bowl, but I think could they come in second in the AFC East? Yes. If the Bills continue to regress like they did this past year, could they win the AFC East? Absolutely. But you know what? So could Miami. A lot of it comes down to health. A lot of it comes down to catching a few breaks over the course of the year. But Rodgers to the Jets really is a game changer, not just for the AFC East, but the entire AFC. So we'll see. I think he's going there. I mean, they're so far down the road on this. I just can't see him retiring because this guy's got an ego on him. You think he's going to play second fiddle to Tom Brady when they both go in the Hall of Fame? They each can't retire the same year. I mean, yeah, they can. And maybe he goes, I don't care. But there's no way he's playing second fiddle to Tom Brady at the Hall of Fame. I can't see it. I'd be stunned. And I will say this. If you are a New York fan, if you are, I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast, but say you are, you're a fan of like the teams in New York, you're going to go from having wacky Kyrie Irving in your city, and now him gone, and you're going to replace him with wacky Aaron Rodgers. Good luck. The media is going to love it, but both these guys are a little wacky, but you know what? They might be wacky off the field. On the field or on the court, they both can play. And Rodgers will help the Jets. You know, he doesn't miss many games. He's always on the field. And, you know, he is a big, big-time player. So, we'll see. But, yeah, it's going to make the AFC East more fun. I wouldn't be shocked if you see a Jets Miami game in prime time next year. Just because with Rodgers in the fold, they're going to get a lot of prime time games. They're going to get the max. So we'll see. But yeah, just sort of want to touch on that, as it's a big story in the world of the NFL, a big story that will impact the AFC East and all the teams in the AFC East. Man, how about the Patriots? Wow. Talk about a fall from grace. You dominated the AFC East for 20 years. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick dominated. Now you got the Bills, who have been a powerhouse the past few years. You got a Miami team who went to the playoffs this past year and for, you know, the first 8-9 weeks or so was the best team in the league. And now you got the Jets. If they had Rodgers, the Patriots are looking at last place, looking up, and that ain't changing anytime soon. That's a team that gets affected the most with the Rodgers thing. Because the Jets and Miami are pretty equal, as we saw last year. Rodgers goes there, okay, maybe they're a little better than Miami, but they're still on the same plane. We'll see. They're about pretty close. The Patriots aren't even close. They're so far behind every other team in the AFC East. That's a team that gets destroyed. But yeah, so big day, big week for the Dolphins. We're going to have, I'm sure, a lot more news probably this weekend. Myself and Tom, we might do a show this weekend. Next week, there's going to be so much news, I'm sure. I'm going to be back with Ian Berger. I might have some shows by myself. We're going to have shows probably most of next week, as there's so much to talk about as we get towards the start of free agency and the new league year. We're going to have some signings, some new players, and let's hope the Dolphins can build a winner here and fill in some of these holes. Like I said, me, right tackle, number one. Cornerbacks, probably number two, and I'd start from there. If they can fill those two holes, I think they're going to be well on their way to having a successful 2023 season. They cannot go with Austin Jackson at right tackle. They cannot go, as much as Kadir Kohu was a nice little find this past year, if they want to use him as a third cornerback or a fourth cornerback, that's fine. He cannot start for a team that wants to compete for a Super Bowl. So that I would go big time at corner, big time at right tackle. And after that, try to find an upgrade at safety. Find some new linebackers. They got to get at least, I think, two linebackers. You know, if they want to re-sign Wilson and Mostert, cool beans there. And just, that's what I think they're going to do. But we will see. Now, as I said, be sure to check out the website this weekend, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a bunch of videos and analysis of the fifth-year option from Tua from Pat McAfee, CBS Sports, that jerk Rich Eisen. If you want to see that, check that out. You can listen. I will have the contest up Saturday or Sunday about the Jalen Waddle bobblehead doll and how you can enter to win that. Free to play. Usually only takes a second to play and put in your submission for that. And we're going to have more shows here coming up, like I said, this week. Everyone have a great weekend. Everyone, also, let me restart this close. Please be sure to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter, both at Dolphins Talk. Check us out there for the latest we have on our social media platforms as well. Okay, take two. Everyone have a great weekend. And folks, don't forget, let's put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.